Well, welcome. Glad that you guys are here this morning. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Justin, one of our pastors here. And as we've said, we're talking about Advent this morning. So it's going to be a little different maybe than the service that you might be used to at Genesis. But hopefully it's a really special time. It's not every year that we get to celebrate Sunday, December 1st, the kickoff of Advent being on a Sunday where we get to gather together. And so I actually looked back and it happened more in the last 5 years and then nothing since like 2002. So there was a big gap where Sunday didn't align with December 1st. But today's really special. So as we observed Thanksgiving this past week with your family, I'm sure many of you, as my family did, decorated and maybe you broke out a Christmas movie or two, and so for some of you, you're like, I'm already over this. Like, get me to the Super Bowl. But today we're going to celebrate Christmas and we're going to talk about it. But I hope this morning is encouraging to you and really sets the tone for the rest of the season, because that's the point of all of this morning. That word, Advent, comes from a Latin word that simply means arrival. And so we tie it up with this idea that's going to be on the screen, waiting with expectation. And so that's what Advent is all about. It's a countdown to the days leading up to Christmas, and excitement and anticipation builds. And that's the point of the Advent calendars that many of you do with your kids or you grew up on. Now, the Advent calendars are an invention from the early 1900s, but stashed inside are these treats, right? But that's not what Advent is about. Advent is about getting you excited for Christmas Day and all that comes with it. And so we're conditioned for this excitement during this time. If you've been in a Lowe's or, God help us, a Hobby Lobby, you know it's been Christmas for quite a while. And I think this is a good thing. But the challenge for those of us who follow Jesus is to remember that the excitement that we feel this time of year is meant to point us to the birth of Jesus, our Savior and King. Or as the prophet Isaiah referred to him, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so it's God on earth with us through Jesus is what we're celebrating. Now, Advent can be traced back to the 4th and 5th centuries of the early church. So for hundreds of years as the church, we've recognized Advent as a time to reflect on Jesus' birth and all that he brought with him. It was a one-time event in history when he entered creation the same way that all of us have, became human, and made a way for us to, as a people, to be made right with God for eternity. So every year at Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus on December 25th. But as the late pastor Tim Keller said, Christmas is not simply about his birth. It's also a time for us to celebrate his arrival as God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. So what if, instead of only thinking of his arrival in Bethlehem, we anticipated his arrival in our lives today? What are we, as believers in Christ, still waiting and longing for this morning? So that's the question. But since chapter 3 of the book of Genesis in the Bible, all of creation has been waiting for the day when God would restore his good creation to what it was always meant to be, a place where God and his image-bearing people can live together forever. So in the beginning, chapter 1, Genesis, the beginning of your Bible, God created everything by speaking it into existence, and he called it good. And so he reached a point where he was satisfied with his work and filled with joy about everything he created, including creating people in his image. It wasn't long, though, before things went sideways and sin entered the world. And if you know the story, one moment of Adam and Eve choosing to define right and wrong on their own for themselves changed everything for all of humanity. And so despite the pain of their disobedience in that moment and the consequences of their sin, God still made a promise to one day defeat the power of sin through a person, a Savior, a Messiah. So let's read together this morning in Genesis chapter 3. It'll be on your screen, verses 14 and 15. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You'll crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." So think about that. Sound familiar, right? This is the first place that we read of God's promise to send a Savior to right everything that was made wrong. A Savior who would crush the head of Satan, but would also be wounded in the process. And so this was the very beginning of Advent, creation's longing for the arrival of God's promised Messiah. So from that point forward, every generation has experienced the effects of sin as people continue to choose their ways over God's ways. And as things got worse and worse, the expectation and longing for a Savior grew more and more. Now, as the Old Testament story continues, there are glimmers of hope along the way when God acts on behalf of his people to save them and to guide them. But there was also this growing darkness, and before long, it seems as if God may have given up on his plan. But we know that God couldn't forget his people, and God is faithful to fulfill all the promises that he said. So 700 years before the arrival of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah declared these words in Isaiah 9:2. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned." Now, when Isaiah, who was known as a prophet, spoke these words, it was a reminder of the promise made by God to send a Savior, someone who would break the curse of sin and shine the light of life into creation, a light that would change everything back to the way that it was supposed to be. And for generations, Israel remembered and latched onto this promise and looked forward to the arrival of the Messiah, and with him, the promise of what would come. And this represents some of the candles that you'll see lit around the Advent season. With him would come hope that sees beyond our current circumstances, love that doesn't have to be earned and is freely given, joy in response to the gift of God's grace, and peace for all things that comes through reconciliation of Christ. So all of this came in an unexpected way through Jesus, who is the Messiah. Now, we call him Jesus, but his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, they called him Yeshua, which was Hebrew for Yahweh saves. And think about this. Every time they spoke his name, it was a reminder of what the angel told them before he was born, that he will save his people from their sin. So in the same way that his arrival is unexpected from the manger scene that we celebrate at Christmas time, his life looked different too, and it ushered in the coming of God's kingdom in a very unexpected way. They expected a king to come and free them from their oppression, and yet Jesus came to free all people from an oppression of sin. Now, Jesus did something very interesting that no other religious leader at the time had done. In John 8, Jesus in his own words boldly proclaimed that, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So Jesus, he made it painstakingly clear that anyone who follows him will no longer walk in darkness. There's freedom there. It's only through faith in Christ that we can enter into the light of life, because it's only through Jesus that we find salvation. Now, we still live today in a world that's dealing with the effects of sin. We see it all around. The consequences of our sin played out in divided communities, in brokenness in the home, neglected children, abuse of all kinds, and so much more. But because of Jesus' life, death, and his resurrection, we can find what all the ancient Israelites looked forward to. We can find peace for our souls, a life of joy, a love that never ends, and a hope that never fades. And so Advent isn't only about reflecting on Jesus' arrival in a manger, it's about his arrival in our lives today. So for some this morning, this may be new to you, and you're hearing this gospel message and wondering, what does this mean? Jesus offers me all of these things. And this is that Jesus saves and offered us salvation because he accomplished what we never could by dying on the cross and becoming the ultimate substitution for the guilt and pain and debt that we owe because of our sin. And if you have questions about that, I'd love to talk to you after the service up here and go through that with you further. But for others, this morning you're looking for peace in the midst of chaos. You're looking for joy in a time of hardship. Maybe this time of year invokes all sorts of feelings with family or those that are lost or have passed away in your life, but maybe you're looking for a feeling of love when you're feeling alone, neglected, or abandoned. I know we're all looking for hope when everything around us feels as if it's going into chaos and falling apart. But Jesus was the promised Messiah who came more than 2,000 years ago in this unexpected way, and he's still the Messiah today who's ready to meet your needs now. Henry Nouwen wrote this: "The Lord is coming, always coming. When you have ears to hear and eyes to see, you'll recognize him at any moment of your life." Life is Advent. Life is recognizing the coming of the Lord. And the psalmist in Psalm 22:19 writes, "Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me." And so this morning, maybe you have some very specific ways that you need him to show up for you in this season. Or maybe the only prayer that you could even begin to muster is, "Jesus, come find me." But we're going to take some time this morning to just center our hearts on this season, on this message, and we're going to take some time to respond through prayer. Now, there's not a wrong way to do this. You can sit in your seat silently, or you can pray with someone around you, but I want to encourage you and offer some prayer thoughts on screen as we continue and take a minute to pray for the Lord to reveal himself in this season. So let's ask that the Lord would reveal his hope to the lost around us and to the people that need it. Let's ask that the Lord would remind us of his love and grace and mercy that he offers, that we would experience the joy that he has for us in this season, and that we would find the peace of the Lord in our life. Let's pray together. Lord, I ask this morning that you would reveal yourself to us as only you can. The hope that we have in this world, Lord, that it would rest in you and you alone, that we wouldn't look for man-made things or men that are faulty to be our hope. Lord, we wouldn't ebb and flow with life's valleys and peaks, and that we wouldn't just rise with the good times and be crushed with the low times, but we would fixate our sights, Lord, on what you promised for us for all of eternity, Lord, that you would be enough for us in this season. I pray that you would reveal yourself to everyone in this room that hasn't yet experienced the joy that exists in you. You would make a voice crying in the wilderness, Lord, out to those that need to experience you outside of these walls, Lord, that you would, maybe it's a gesture in this season of someone in this room showing care and kindness to someone that breaks down those walls in a preparation to be able to share the gospel with those that need it, Lord. But also pray this morning that you would remind us of your love and grace and mercy, Lord. We didn't earn it. There's nothing we can do to accomplish what you've already accomplished for us. You boldly said, "It is finished." You've done the work, Lord. We just need to receive it and receive that love and mercy. Lord, I pray that we would have a joy that isn't just based on our circumstances, but a joy that overflows, because even in suffering, you call us to be joyful because of the hope that you offer. Lord, let us be a joyful people that the world outside sees and says, "I want what they have." Lord, you didn't call us to be mopey, grumpy, judgy people. You called us to be the light of the world and salt. Lord, our God, I pray that you would bring a peace, not only in our life, but to the world around us, Lord. A peace that passes all understanding. I thank you for the gift that you give us of your Spirit in our life. Lord, I pray that that Spirit would overflow and that the world would see the peace that we have. Be with us this morning as we continue to focus in our hearts and center ourselves in what really matters in this season, and that's your arrival in our life. Lord God, you came as a baby in an unexpected way, but you exist now as King. So we lift the name of Jesus up in this place and thank you, Lord, that you brought us to this moment to worship you. For you and you alone, Lord, you deserve the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we talked about, Advent is about anticipating Jesus' arrival, but it wasn't just in the manger. So from the moment sin entered creation, we've been waiting for the day that God will restore all things. Because of the finished work of Jesus, that restoration has begun. And as followers living after the resurrection, we're still living in this prolonged season of Advent, waiting for the day that he will return forever. the day he will set all things right. German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer said it this way: the Advent season is a season of waiting, but our whole life is an Advent season. That is, a season of waiting for the last Advent, for the time when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Because God fulfilled his promise of a Savior through Jesus, we can trust Jesus' own words that he will return for us. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me." Jesus said in Luke, "They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near." The Apostle Paul described it as waiting for that blessed hope. And the author of Hebrews says, Jesus will appear a second time to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. But listen how the Apostle John, who was one of Jesus' disciples, how he describes it in Revelation 21. "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" And this is what we hope for the day when all who place their faith in Christ will dwell with God forever, when all creation will be reconciled and made complete through Jesus. As we sang, "The Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, God with us." And so all of this is wrapped up in this Advent season, remembering our need for a Savior and celebrating that Jesus came as that Savior, anticipating his current work in us and looking forward to his return forever. But for now, we wait. And this waiting isn't passive. It isn't we just sit back and count the time. We get to actively reflect the praise of creation back to God with hopeful expectation of his next arrival. Jeremiah 33:14-16 says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. And in those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. And in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior." Now, this first purple candle lit on the first Sunday of Advent, it represents hope and the expectation of the coming Messiah. Now, the colors don't matter. I know some people have red in their home. But as the candle burns throughout this week and becomes smaller and smaller, it helps us remember that time continually passes and the return of Christ becomes nearer and nearer with each passing day. Let's reflect and sing a song that embodies all of the coming Christ in these future days.